Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable asking you to stay tuned today for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we welcome you if you're listening by computer today or if you have downloaded this broadcast from our website. Welcome today. We invite you to stay tuned as we gather around the Word of God together to study His Word and see the great privilege of being a child of God. Amen. If you're not a Christian today, would you please join us as our special guest and listen as we begin to renew our own faith and appreciation in the finished work of Jesus at the cross. We want you to know that the privilege of the New Testament believer is not just having our sins pardoned, but being brought into the presence of God for intimacy, fellowship. We worship Him in His presence, praise God, and He comes to receive that worship if we do it in spirit and in truth. Our subject today, the third in this series, worshiping a worthy God. Our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. And before we read today, I just want to set this up just a little bit and before I even do that, I'll give you our access to our website if you'd like to visit with us to download any sermons that span almost 38 years of pastor in here in Tampa, or if you want to receive any of the recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, or if you want to utilize any of the free materials that are free for you to enjoy and employ right there at our website. Please come. There's no charge. We will not bug you. We don't get your address. There's no strings attached. Praise God. You may find that hard to believe, but come and see for yourself. Praise the Lord. Freely we have received, and freely we offer the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of the benevolence of others who help us to do this, we're able to do it without charge, just the way God sent it to us. Praise the Lord. So God has blessed us to be a blessing to you, and I do pray that we can be today. I know the Word of God can bless you today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24 on the great subject, worshiping a worthy God. I've been to a lot of different worship services and saw a lot of different forms of worship. But what we're talking about here is the spiritual a privilege of worshiping God in an intimacy and a fellowship that could not be formally known or experienced in the Old Covenant. And that's why this contrast is being drawn here in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews between the Old and the New Covenant in a particular, peculiar way. And it's how we relate to God in the old economy. Paul is telling us here in Hebrews that that when God came down on the top of Mount Sinai, this mountain could not be touched, not only by a human being, but by an animal. If an animal touched the base of that mountain, that God's presence on the very top had so sanctified the ground, that animal had committed a sacrilegious act, and the animal, in his ignorance, though, was to be punished with death. Kill that rabbit or that whatever animal it could be that touched the base of that mountain. And so fearful was God's visitation in His holiness that the people feared incredibly and powerfully, trembling in the presence of God on that mountaintop. And they just begged Moses, go up and hear what he has to say. We're in a dreadful state of fear at the smoke and the trembling going on around them. Listen, friend, it was a fearful thing to approach a holy God when He manifests Himself. But in the new covenant, an acceptance was granted so that a holy God and fallen man could have a relationship, because our sins could be forgiven. Our sins could be literally abolished. We could be treated as if we had never sinned. Praise God. Amen. And so Paul, with joy now, goes from telling how terrible it was to come into the presence of God when in the old covenant sense of when he manifests himself, and how pleasant it is, how wonderful it is, and how privileged it is to come into the presence of God in new covenant grace. Praise God. He said, you have not come to the mountain which cannot be touched. Let's pick it up at verse 22 of Hebrews 12. But ye are come, past tense if you're a Christian, to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You've come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than that of Abel. Praise God. Amen. When we come to worship, not only can we come into the presence of God, but God can come into our presence. You know, Jesus said, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the scripture said in the Old Testament that God is literally enthroned by the praises of his people. He inhabiteth the praises of his people. Praise God. I expect more than just to sit in an audience and listen to a great choir sing and call it a worship service. I expect to be, and there may be a choir singing, nothing wrong with that, and that's wonderful, but I expect to enter into the presence of God. And I expect to sense in my spirit man, the inward man, the peace and the joy of the presence of Jesus in my own heart and life. I expect to be encouraged drawn in to a worship state of mind and heart where I begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise God, because we have the privilege of entering into the presence of God while here on earth, just like those that have preceded us into heaven are worshiping in his presence. That's what this is all about. We've come where the angels worship. We've come to the place and the state where those who have preceded us to heaven, the spirits of just men, people who have been justified by faith and made perfect in the presence of God. Praise God. And we've come to worship not only in our local church or in our automobile as we drive our home while we raise our hands and lift our hearts and praise him. Amen. But when we do that on the earth, we are joining in the worship of God before his throne as perfectly and intimately as those who have preceded us to heaven, as the innumerable company of angels worshiping before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the reason for all of these blessings that we have spent a couple of these broadcasts enumerating is that we have come to Jesus. We have come to Jesus. That's why we can enjoy all the wonderful blessings present and future. Amen. Verse 24 said of Hebrews 12, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. I want to begin by saying today that worship is a divine fellowship, an intimate fellowship. We've come to God, the judge of all men, and yet he doesn't judge us. Amen. He receives us. He welcomes us. And we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. When we worship, we come to God. When we come to worship, we come into the presence of Jesus Christ himself. There are no intermediaries. I love the way Leonardo da Vinci talked about this great painting of the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Something happened to let us know what he wanted our focus to be, and that's what we're really talking about here. The focus in worship shouldn't be how well the pianist is playing, how wonderfully harmonized the choir is singing with such beauty and grace. But our focus should be squarely upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, and upon the great, wonderful Father God who gave His Son for us. Listen to this story, true story, from this experience of Leonardo da Vinci. He created a marvelous painting called The Last Supper. He turned to one of his best friends and asked at its completion, and he said, "What do you think of my painting?" The friend looked at it and said, "I've never seen anything quite as incredible. It's absolutely breathtaking. Look at those two silver goblets right there on the table. They're so real that I feel I could walk into the painting and lift them off the table." Da Vinci frowned, went over to the painting, and immediately painted out the silver goblets. "I want you to look at Jesus," he said. "I want you to look at His face. It is the face that I want you to see." Ah, friend of mine, when we gather for worship, we need to be able to understand that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are brought into the presence of God. And the Scripture says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Through Christ and His shed blood, we have been forgiven. We have been made clean enough to come into the presence of God, and God can come into our presence when we worship. I believe that God shows up for worship service to receive the worship that is honoring Him. I believe Jesus is there. You know, the Scripture is very clear that where two or more assemble in My name, Jesus said, "There am I in the midst of them." Well, we bring Him. He's in all of us as Christians. He lives within us and within our heart. But it's not that kind of in the midst. He's talking about manifesting His presence when Christians come together in one mind and with one accord. And we begin to worship together. You know, I've seen some worship services where if you had a television camera, and sometimes the camera does this, and it pans the platform where the worship team or the great choir is singing. And in some occasions, they are singing songs with such truth, such joyous privilege and power of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then you pan the audience, and you have very, very diligent observers of this worship, maybe even enjoying the presentation because of the beauty and the grandeur of it all, but not participating personally in the worship. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, this is not a spectator thing. When we come together, the choir should sing, and the soloist should hit the high note, and they should play skillfully as David taught them upon the instruments, and do our best for the Lord, for the great King of glory. Ah, but we should be drawn in to that worship with them, because this whole chapter here, and this whole portion of Scripture within this chapter, is telling us that when we assemble together to worship, we've not come to that mountain of the old covenant when God's presence was manifest. We were afraid and fearful and had to stand back. But we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to that relationship where God can manifest Himself and we can run to Him and not from Him. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what C.H. Spurgeon writes about the cleanness that we have through the blood of Jesus that permits this to take place. And I'm going to quote him. He said, "Your cleanness is not a thing of degrees. It is not a variable or vanishing quantity. It is present, abiding, perfect. You are clean through the word and through the application of the blood of sprinkling to the conscience and through the imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then lift up your head and sing for joy of heart, seeing that your transgression is pardoned, your sin is covered, and you, and in you, Jehovah seeth not iniquity. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist to some degree. Even as a Christian, we're not sinlessly perfect, but He doesn't look at us that way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon went on to say, "Dear friends, let not another moment pass till by faith in Jesus you've grasped this privilege." That's what this is all about today, this privilege we have as children of God. I'll make no mistake about it. If you're listening and you're not a Christian and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you repent of your sin, you're not just going to be an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace. But now, Paul said, you are the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God brings you into His royal family, identifies with you as His spiritual sons and daughters. Hallelujah. This is more than just having our sin pardoned. This is full acceptance with our Heavenly Father. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? And who am I that He would say, "Not my will, thine for"? Praise God. Spurgeon went on to say that you will find the song of substitution a choice song if you're able to sing it. If we understand what happened when Jesus, our sacrifice lamb, died upon the cross. One song of old said, "In my surety I am free. His dear hands were pierced for me. With His spotless vesture on, holy as the Holy One." Now listen, friend, it doesn't mean that we're sinlessly perfect like Him. It means God treats us as though we were. That's called God's righteousness. And Paul said, "In being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but having the righteousness which is of God in Jesus Christ." See, not only does God forgive our sins and pronounce us not guilty, therefore right wise with Him, constituting the word righteousness. Amen. He doesn't only take our guilt at the cross. He gives us Christ's innocence. Praise God. Hallelujah. All true worship should be an extension, an application, an appreciation for the blood of Jesus, the greatest testament of all of God's love for us is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want to read a verse about this new covenant blessing that the blood of Jesus has wrought for us out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 23. And it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Verse 18, Paul says, "Where there's remission of there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." That's what's being communicated to us here in the portion of Scripture that we started with in Hebrews, that we are invited to draw near with confidence in our heart. Hallelujah. With our conscience sprinkled from evil, that simply means that the sins of the past are no longer plaguing us and keeping us feeling unworthy of entering into the presence of God. Instead of standing back, wanting literally to run from the presence of God, sensing our unworthiness and His holiness, we run to Him, to embrace Him and to love Him and to be loved by Him. Ah, friend of mine, today I say it again, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, God is going to do more than just pardon your sin. He's going to give you a standing with Himself of complete acceptance where He can love you unreservedly. Praise God, in the sense that He can embrace you. He can manifest Himself to you. He can abide within you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you can experience His presence. I'm not talking about goose pimples or emotional highs and lows. I'm talking about experiencing the presence of God, when He manifests Himself. I tell you, when we come to church, we expect God to show up. I don't know how you worship. I'm not telling you about the form of worship, how you go through those formalities. I'm saying that in the heart of a Christian, there should be an expectation and anticipation that we're going to experience the presence of God, because we are truly entering in to His presence, and He's truly promised to come into our presence in the sense of manifesting Himself. Praise the Lord. In His presence, the Bible said, there is fullness of joy. I don't know how many Sundays I've come to church myself with issues and problems that I hadn't completely shaken. I came cluttered in my heart and said, Lord, I want to worship You in the complete freedom of Your presence and experience Your joy, but I feel so cluttered. But you know, when we begin to worship Him, we begin to anticipate Him manifesting Himself to us, we begin to, with one mind and one accord, exalt the mighty, matchless, majestic name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God comes and inhabits the praises of His people, and all of that clutter begins to go. All of that heaviness begins to be lifted. And as we focus on Jesus and the privilege of coming into the presence of a holy God with our sins completely forgiven, hallelujah. Friend of mine, there is a joy that rises up that cancels out all of that heaviness. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that said, I would give you the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Every one of us need to have on our garment of praise. Amen. At some point in that worship service, that transition should take place. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? Because we realize we're not just in church. We've come to Zion, to the city of the Most High God, to an innumerable company of angels. Our worship here on earth is blending with the worship of the angels in heaven. Praise God. To the spirits of just men made perfect, to the 24 elders, we are worshiping on earth, but our worship isn't staying upon the earth. It is reaching into God's heaven, into the throne room of God, into the presence of God. Those have preceded us to heaven, the holy angels, we join them together in worshiping our great King. Praise God, and it transforms a worship service to something exciting and enthralling. And we are prepared for the Word of God when our heart is uncluttered. That holy seed can get in that good ground heart and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I think it was Moody that had his song leader. He wanted him to sing until that clutter was gone, to bring them to Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. Before he preached, and it was said, and I forget his song leader. You may know this, but his song leader, was it Sangster? Sankey? Anyway, Sankey, maybe. Anyway, he said he would not preach until Sankey sang them happy. Hallelujah. I tell you, sometimes some Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice, and it's hard to sing them happy, but it wouldn't be hard at all to sing us happy, to lead us into that worship that causes us to enter into the presence of God if we understood the power and privilege of the blood of Jesus Christ, for it speaks of better things than that of the sacrifices of Abel, of the sacrifice of bulls and goats in the Old Testament. One thing that we declare through the blood of Jesus is that we can come into the very presence of the Most Holy God. And we are confident that God will honor the blood of Christ shed for us at the cross. We draw near, for we are accepted in the Beloved. No matter how deeply stained with sin, His blood, friend, cleanses us from all iniquity. I like Isaiah 1:18 as we close in the Old Testament, God's willingness to pardon. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When God deals with our sin, He deals with it thoroughly, and He deals with it completely. Praise the Lord. Amen. He deals with it thoroughly, and He deals with it completely. And that's why the Scripture said, "Now therefore there is no condemnation." Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "Now therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life," verse 2 says, "in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Our sins are forgiven. God has accepted the sacrifice. And the blood of sprinkling has caused our conscience to be clear. That's why we can lay our head down at night as Christians who have trusted Christ, believed on Him, set our heart to follow Him. And we know that if we draw our last breath, we're going to be with the Lord. And if we wake in the morning, the Lord is going to be with us. It's a win-win for the child of God. And today, if you don't have that precious peace, let me tell you, friend, you can have it today. This can be the day that your destiny changes, that your life changes, that your relationship with God. You know, the Bible said until we repent that we are dead while we yet live. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Our sins separate us from God. But when our sins are completely pardoned through the blood of Jesus Christ and completely cleansed, we are brought to Him for fellowship, for intimacy, for relationship. And we can enjoy fellowship with Him. And I don't know why, but He enjoys fellowship with us. Because when we assemble in His name, He said, "There am I. There am I, right in the midst of them." Praise God. If you don't know Jesus today, I want to tell you, this can be the day that your whole life changes if you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. As you come today, as you are, with your sin, with your faults, with your failures, and you come and say, "Jesus Christ, I'm putting my trust in You and Your finished work at the cross. God, forgive me. I've sinned against You, and I'm sorry for my sin. I can't change myself, but I want the change to come. I can't change myself, but I can change my mind about my sin and tell You that I don't want it. I can change masters, and I can say I want to serve God and not the devil anymore." And today, in Jesus' name, I come and I receive Your forgiveness, Your grace, Your mercy. And today, if you're a Christian and you're still condemned, and you're standing afar off, and you're not entering into the privilege and power of being a child of God. I pray that this Sunday when you worship, that it's different for you, that you come to Zion and worship God face to face in spirit and in truth. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
Don't try to hurry your earthless God. In His eyes we all are equal. Don't be afraid. Come as you are at the table of grace. The cup's never empty. The plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled. Love never ended. You're always